Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Third John in verse 2, beloved. I wonder who that might be. Who's he writing to there? Thank God he's writing to you and I. I, beloved of God. How about you? Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. God wants us to prosper. Of course, it's the Apostle John that wrote this, but he wrote this from the heart of God, God speaking through him. This is God's desire for you and I. We need to really get a hold of it and not waver a doubt about it anymore, that God wants us to prosper. He wants us to prosper and be in health so we can enjoy our prosperity. And of course, this prosperity is something that happens from the inside out. It starts in our spirit by faith and works its way out through our soul, which is still the inward part of us. And then it's to manifest into our bodies in the form of health, physical strength, good looks, right? Affect you outwardly. And then materially, cause you to prosper, increase in every good thing in life. Number one, God wants you to be good. He wants to cause all the good things that he's doing in you to come forth and manifest in your life. He wants you to walk in godly character. He wants you to walk by faith. He wants you to walk in love. He doesn't want you to be dominated by your flesh, dominated by this world. That's God's desire for us. So that it's then that we can fully enjoy life. If we lack character, then we're not going to really fully enjoy like we should the things of this world. God wants us to have the things of this world. He just doesn't want the things of the world to have us. Right? He doesn't want these things to control us. He wants us to be in control by faith, yielding and flowing with the Holy Spirit. And as we do, then we'll be able to enjoy all the things of this world, not being addicted to it, not being in bondage to it, not being controlled by it. That's God's will for us. So say, God wants me to prosper in all things. See, that would be in every area of your life. Every area, all things. All things. That covers everything. Everything about your life, God wants you to prosper. He wants you to prosper. So we were talking about last time the difference between miracle provision and prosperity. God's got some miracle money for us. He's got miracle money for us. But there's a difference between miracle money and prosperity. Prosperity in review works from the inside out, just as I was saying, and involves all of you. It involves your spirit, your character, your faith. It includes your work ethic, how you work in life, integrity, all these kind of things. That's prosperity. However, there are times when God intervenes on our behalf and out of mercy provides for us. He comes through for us financially in life out of his mercy. So prosperity is God empowering you through our job, through our relationships, through the work that we accomplish, through seeds that we have sown, through rewards that we have earned. Are you earning any reward points with God? And then, of course, our obedience to him and following his plan for our life. It's in doing these things, through these things, God empowers us to prosper. Then miracle money, miracle provision, is God's power working apart from our job, budgets, relationships, giving, and obedience. It's God just doing something completely independent of those things. Now, that's not the norm. That's not what he wants to do regularly for us. He wants us to prosper. He wants to empower us through what we do in life. Prosperity is the result of walking by faith in God's grace, but miracle provisions are an act of God's mercy. An act of God's mercy. Remember, we come boldly, Hebrews 4:16, we come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So those are two things. We come to get mercy from God when we need it, and grace, which is his ability, his strength, his power, working with us in life to help us in a time of need. Sometimes we need mercy, sometimes we need grace. While prosperity is from the inside out, provisional miracles are an outward working of God. In other words, it doesn't have really anything to do with your character and integrity and where you're at spiritually. In prosperity, God works with you. But in a miracle, God works for you. Prosperity requires that you come up to God's standard for your life. But miracles come down to you, meeting you where you are at. So you see, you can't live by miracles. Miracles come in a crisis to get you out of a ditch. Or to give you a jump start in life. You know, things are just kind of just like a battery, you know, in your car. The thing dies. Have you ever had that problem before? You know, if you have a car long enough, eventually you're going to have to get a jump. You're going to have to jump start the battery. And so, you know, you got a perfectly good car and battery. And then, you know, one day something happened. You left your lights on too long. And now your battery's dead. Well, what do you need to do? You need to repent. And you leave your lights on too long. Of course, I'm not literally talking about leaving your lights on, but comparing that to life. Sometimes, as we go through life, we can miss it. We can make mistakes, mess up in our prospering, delay our prospering, slow down our prospering so we're not quite where we ought to be. And in such cases, God has provided us with a jump start. And it's called miracle money. Miracle provision. Where God will come in his mercy. And he'll hook his battery cables up to your situation. And bam! Suddenly, you have finances that you did not work for, you did not sow for, that are not the result of your obedience, but are strictly an act of his mercy, and wham, your car is running. Now, God don't want you living like that. He don't want you always to be walking around. Every time you turn your car off to get it back on, you got to get someone to jumpstart it. God don't want you living that way, from jumpstart to jumpstart. He wants your car to be able to run the way it's supposed to. He wants your life to be able to run the way it's supposed to run. He wants you to prosper in all things. He wants everything running the way it's supposed to be running. He wants everything to be running strong and efficient. That's his will for us. That's what he demands of us. And if we'll make the adjustments, repent, where we've left the lights on, where we've messed up, if we'll take responsibility for our actions and be determined to obey God and to do what we're supposed to be doing, be where we're supposed to be, then God has promised to intervene with miracle provision and jumpstart us out of that situation so that we can roll down the road in the prosperity, at the level of prosperity we're supposed to be running at. Are you ready for a jump start? This is what God wants to do right now. He wants us to get a hold of this so that he can do this in our life. Because it doesn't just happen. It happens because we come boldly, that's confidently, that's coming in faith, to his throne of grace to obtain miracle mercy. To obtain miracle mercy. You got to be able to obtain it. It don't just happen. Somebody's got to obtain it. And so that's what he's teaching us. He's teaching us, number one, to prosper, but he's teaching us also to take hold of miracle provision for our life. I think God wants to get us flowing where we're supposed to be at. He wants to bring us up to where we're supposed to be. And he's ready to do something radical. He's ready to bring something out of left field, so to speak. You know, just it's like, whoa, wow. Glory to God. That didn't come through my job. That didn't come through my relationships. That didn't come through my obedience. That didn't come because of seed that I've sown. That's just a miracle. That's just a miracle. That's just mercy. Mercy. Hallelujah. And next thing you know, man, you receive that from God, and now you're able to run more efficiently in the prosperity level that you're at. Jesus, our example, didn't live by miracles, but he received them when he needed to. Again, a lot of times people put Jesus in a place where they could never be like that. I mean, but you got us. Jesus is our example to follow in life. He's our master. He's the one that we're following and learning from. We're learning from him how things work in life. How things function, how we should be doing things in life. And we are to be doing things supernaturally and miraculously. Jesus did both. Most of the time, he lived by faith, walked in the supernatural grace and provision of God. And then, at other times, he received miracle provision from God. So again, he is our example to follow. Now, we've discussed in the past the healing techniques of Jesus. But there is also the financial miracle techniques of Jesus. Now, I'm excited about healing. I love divine healing. I love using my faith, walking in divine healing, believing, glory be to God, for healing, not just for myself, but for others. Thank God for it. Thank God for faith in the healing power of God. Again, we learn about divine healing by looking at Jesus. He's our example. He walked in divine health himself, and he brought healing to others. And there are all kinds of different techniques that Jesus used to bring healing to others. And if you don't have that series, it's been a while since I've preached it. You need to go back and listen to it again. Get your hands on it. Go online. Listen to it. Always strengthen your faith in this area, because we need to stay healthy. We need to stay healthy. So we need to keep our faith strong in this area of healing and divine health. Got to keep your faith strong. If you don't have a problem now, you'll be tempted to someday. Symptoms will come. And remember, symptoms are temptations to be sick. That's the symptoms in your body are temptations to be sick. And so when those temptations come, what's going to happen to you? Are you going to receive sickness? Are you going to become oppressed? Or are you going to be able to rise up, laugh at it with the faith of God and confidently cast off that work of darkness? Well, you want to be able to just cast it off. So you got to build your faith in and keep feeding your faith in this area of divine healing. But also we need to feed our faith in the area of financial provision, even in the area of miracle provision, because money is a big part of life in this world. If we're going to have anything, if we're going to get anywhere, if we're going to accomplish much for God, we're going to need money to do it. So money is another very important part of our life. So if you don't feed your faith in that area, you'll be weak in that area. Wherever you don't feed your faith, you're going to be weak. You're going to be weak spiritually. And we can't afford to be weak in these areas. I said we can't afford to be weak in these areas. We've got to keep ourselves built up and strong in faith in these areas. So let's look here at some of the financial miracle techniques of Jesus. Can we do that tonight? Let's go in our Bibles to Luke, the fifth chapter. Luke 5, verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Now, we know Jesus is about to do a miracle here. He's about to do a miracle here. Here are some fishermen. They got a fishing business. So when they catch fish, that's money. Right? That's money. And so here they are, and when Jesus finds them, they're out of their boats, and they're washing their nets. Washing their nets. Notice, they were working diligently, cleaning up after themselves. This is a good thing. How many want to prosper in life? You want to do well in life? Clean up after yourself. We need to be diligent in our work. These men were working, and they were diligently taking care of their equipment, of their business, when Jesus found them. In other words, they weren't just sitting in a hammock, lying under a palm tree, and Jesus said, I'm going to do a miracle for these lazy people over here. No, they were working, doing what they knew to do, being diligent with what they were doing. And if we're going to believe God for a miracle breakthrough financially in our life, then we got to look at our life and say, are there things in my life that I'm not doing correctly that need to change? That need to change. Because it's not just about God doing a miracle in our life. God's interested in what's going on in your heart. He's interested in how you're living your life. How are you living your life? And so when there's areas that we can look at and say, man, I'm dragging my feet here, and I'm not really pressing in here, and I'm being lazy here, and I'm being sloppy in some areas, then before you go ahead and say, God, give me a financial miracle breakthrough in the name of Jesus, I take that now. First thing God wants you to do is examine your life to see what you can do better. What can you do better before you want him to do something big? What can you do better? Let's examine that. And there's going to be some things possibly that you need to repent for. Perhaps you need that miracle provision because you haven't been living up to the standard God's been calling you to. The standard that he expects of you. And that's why now you need a miracle breakthrough. And if that's the case, then we have to show God that we recognize we've missed it and we need to make changes in how we do business in life. And we don't want to deal with a slack hand with anything God gives us to do. Can you say amen? So it's important to see that they're working, not lying around. They're working, and they're about to have a tremendous financial miracle. Mercy comes to those who change and mend their ways. Verse 3. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. Is what you have available for the Lord? Is what you have currently right now in your life available to the Lord? If Jesus isn't able to use what you have now, then we know he won't be able to use what you're asking him for when once you get it. If we're not using what we have now to glorify God, then what makes you think that if all of a sudden you receive this big miracle of increase in your life, that, oh, I'm going to use that for God's purposes? Notice, before this miracle happens to the disciples, their boat was available for Jesus. Jesus got in the boat, and he pushed out, and he used the boat to advance the kingdom of God, to preach the word of God. And so we got to make sure that what we have in life is available to the Lord and that he can be using it. All right, verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. The Lord is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. Here, Peter allowed him to use his boat, gave it to the Lord to use, and now Jesus says, launch out into the deep. I got a miracle for you. I'm going to do something big for you because you allowed me to use what you have for God's purposes. I'm now going to believe for a miracle for your life, for your business. Come on. So he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. This was a big inconvenience for Peter. Think about it. He's been working all night. He's been toiling. He's been working. And yet they've caught nothing. They haven't gotten anywhere. And now Jesus, who isn't a fisherman, is telling them to go out into the deep and let's let down our nets for a big catch. And they're like, you don't catch fish this time of day, Jesus. We were working all night when you're supposed to be fishing, and we caught nothing. And so it's quite obvious we're not going to catch anything right now. And so, you know, you could tell this is bothersome to Peter. He's not into this kind of thing. And I got news for you. Miracles don't always come when it's convenient. So you got to be willing to be inconvenienced by the Spirit of God to get in position for his miracle provision for your life. A lot of people aren't willing to get inconvenienced. Well, I'll see. I might come. And in their heart, it's, in no way I'm coming. I'm going to bed. I'm not going to do that. That's my day off. I got other things I've been wanting to do all week. I ain't going to do that now. But before you make a final decision on something, why don't you listen to your heart? Be led by the Spirit of God. Peter at this point does not know he's standing in the presence of the Son of the living God. He doesn't realize that. He just thinks Jesus is a rabbi that's real popular. He's a real popular rabbi and says some pretty cool things that are untraditional. But he doesn't know who he's standing in front of. And the Bible tells us over in Hebrews 13, it says that, you know, we need to watch because we might be entertaining angels. We don't know. You know, you gotta be open. God might have already sent you an angel. And you were too busy for it. You know, you see that sometimes in the Old Testament where the Lord or an angel, you know, they're walking right by the person they really want to meet with, and they've got a word for them, they've got a miracle for them, and they're walking past them, and the person was spiritually sensitive enough to say, hey, come on, turn in here. Let me get you something to eat. Meanwhile, they were just a stranger. They were just a stranger, but yet they discerned. They were sensitive because they were spiritual men of God. They were sensitive that there was something special about this person and they needed to reach out to him. And sometimes, you know, it looked like they would have just kept walking by, but they were compelled to come in by these men or women of God to come in. They were restrained to come in and stay the night or have a meal or whatever it was. And it turned out to be their deliverance, turned out to be their miracle. So, you know, we got to be open, entertain strangers, be inconvenienced. Watch about, you're so tired, you can't be bothered by God. You got to watch that. God might want to get you up in the night.
Why are you getting up in the night?
Because you're always busy during the day. Too busy during the day and too tired at night. It's not good. We've got to be ready. Miracles don't always come when it's a convenient time for your flesh. And don't let the disappointment of the previous night lead you into discouragement, which ultimately results in disobedience. Discouragement leads to disobedience. When a person's discouraged, they just don't care. They don't care. I don't care. I don't care. And then they go out and do stupid things. They go out and they sin. They disobey God because they don't care. Why? Because they're discouraged. Why are they discouraged? Because they allow disappointment to discourage them. Peter had a very disappointing night. They went out. They worked hard all night. They didn't catch a thing. He was very discouraged. And so as a result of that, he only yielded partial obedience to the Lord. Notice the Lord said, let down the nets, plural. Now remember, they were just cleaning all the nets. They got all these nice clean nets. And so the Lord says, let down the nets for a catch. And in verse 5, Simon Peter said, we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, it's your word, I will let down the net. That ragging net over there that's got rips in it that we didn't clean. Because I don't want to clean the net again. I don't want to be bothered by this. I don't want to clean this. So the Lord says, let down the nets. And he goes, all right, you know, just to amuse the Lord. He'll go ahead and do something, but he's not going to do all of what Jesus said to do. He's going to hold back and only give partial obedience to the Lord. He passively thought he just amused Jesus rather than fully believe Jesus. Verse 6, and when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish. And their net, their little net, was breaking. It was breaking. It was a weak little net, a frail net. They were not fully ready to handle the miraculous increase that came. The net was breaking. He couldn't catch all the fish. They weren't ready for it. So, you know, if we're in faith, that for a miracle, then we're preparing for it. And we're getting ready for it. And we're full of expectancy, and we're watching for God to do something out of the ordinary in order to bring about out of the ordinary increase into our life. We want the out of ordinary increase, then we've got to be willing to get out of our comfort zone, get out of our ordinary routine, be looking for God to do something out of the ordinary. Doesn't that make sense? We should be looking for God to do, if we're looking for God to do something out of the ordinary, to do something bigger, something in our life that's bigger than what we've been doing, where we're at in life, then we got to be willing and looking to get out of the ordinary, to receive it from God, be ready for it. They weren't ready for it. He told them, let down the nets, didn't do it, only threw one net in the water, and as a result of that, that net was breaking. Verse 7, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. That's a lot of fish. That's a lot of fish. They were sinking. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it. They were totally overwhelmed by it. We don't want what God wants to bring us to completely sink us. And some folks, if God does a miracle in their life, it'll end up sinking them. They wouldn't be able to handle it. God doesn't want to sink your boat. He doesn't want to sink you. He wants it to bless you. He wants it to advance you. He wants it to help you go further and faster than you've gone before. You ask for this big thing. You ask for this big thing. It's like, do you have a big enough container? Do you have a big enough vessel to be able to handle it? Do you have things in place to be able to handle it? You know, again, we want to approach things realistically. We don't want to just believe, say we're believing for things, and it's unrealistic. We really don't have a handle on what we say we're believing for. We really want to have a handle on what we're believing for. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Notice that. This miracle helped Peter to see he needs to live better. He needs to live better. He can't stay the same anymore. We're not going to stay the same anymore. We're believing for miracles, and we're willing to change and come up to the Lord's standard for our life. Live at a higher level than we've lived before. Verse 9. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Now that tells us right there, we know that this miracle of provision that came to Peter, to his fishing business, was not the result of Peter's faith. Peter was not believing for this. This was not his faith. This was Jesus. This was Jesus' faith for this miracle. Jesus used this miracle to add these disciples to him, that they would serve him. So really, bringing increase to Peter's business actually brought increase into Jesus' ministry. He just went ahead and got these great disciples. But they didn't know how great they were, but Jesus knew how great they were. Jesus was discerning and recognized these rugged little fishermen over here. I mean, he's got multitudes wanting to follow him, but he recognized, no, I want these guys. These guys are called of God, God the Father. And he wanted them in his ministry. He wanted them to serve with him in the ministry. And so that's what this miracle brought about. They weren't discerning enough to realize God was calling them to follow him. But Jesus knew and did this miracle to win them over. He needed to do a miracle to win them over. Just preaching the word wasn't enough, because he had just done that. He just preached the word. He had multitudes following him. But he needed a miracle to get these guys. Verse 10, and so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, they were all astonished, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." We see there the ultimate purpose for your life is to be a soul winner and catch souls. That's why we're here, to be a blessing to others, to win people to Jesus, to bring people to the Lord. So why do we want to increase? Why do we want to prosper? Because we love the Lord, and the Lord loves people, and so we want to see people come into the kingdom of God. And our prosperity means souls being saved. Is that true about you? Don't answer me until you think about it. Examine your heart. Does your prosperity mean souls being added to the kingdom of God? Does your prosperity mean the advancement of the kingdom of God? Or does it just mean you get to retire early? You get to enjoy more things. God wants you to enjoy more things. He wants you to enjoy more things, but in enjoying things, you're affecting lives. You're affecting other people. You're being a light to this world. We want our prosperity, we want our increase in life to increase our light. Things are really just to be like a lampstand, to set our life, our light, up on high so more people can see it. So let's make sure, you got to examine your heart. And if it's not quite there, talk to the Lord about it. Let's get that right. Say, no, when I prosper, the kingdom of God is advanced. Lives are affected for the good. People are touched by Jesus when I increase. That needs to be our goal. That needs to be our desire in life. Verse 11. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know, this was a tremendous financial breakthrough for their business. I mean, here they toiled all night. They didn't catch anything. I'm sure that wasn't the first time that happened. I mean, they might have been striking out a lot. Now they got rent. They got all kinds of bills, electric bill, right? They got all these different things, all these expenses they got to take care of. And they catch nothing. They got no money. They didn't make any money. Worked the whole week, didn't make a thing. And now here it comes, man. Here it comes. This is what they had prayed. Oh, God, have mercy. Help us. We need some money, Jesus. Of course, it wasn't Jesus. Jehovah. They're praying out there on the boat, you know. I don't know what I'm going to do. How can I come home and tell my wife I don't have any money? There's nothing. I don't even have a fish to fry. And then suddenly their boats are sinking with fish. But next thing you know, what was really in their heart came to the surface. And it wasn't money. It wasn't a fishing business. It was following God. Finding and following God's plan for their life. For a lot of people, more money causes covetousness to come out of them, greed to come out of them. Once they start smelling green, a lot of folks are like sharks when they smell blood in the water. Man, they get into a frenzy. And they just go after as much as they can get. That's how a lot of people get when it comes to money and increase. Next thing you know, I've seen people, they don't have anything, and they're at church. They're struggling, you know, and they're struggling, but they're getting to church. And then, all of a sudden, God blesses them with a job. And now they got to work on Sunday. And they got to work on Wednesday. And they got to work on Tuesday. And they can't come to that special meeting. And all of a sudden now, their job is everything. So by them being increased financially, they sunk. They didn't rise up. They didn't come up higher. They sunk. That miracle God did for them sunk them. It caused covetousness to come out of them. What they cared about most, which was money, they went after. Now they have an opportunity to really prosper here. Here they got all this fish. I mean, boats are sinking with fish. And now this is their opportunity to cash in, man. Cash in. But instead of that, now what was in their heart, which is what Jesus saw already, came to the forefront. They wanted to follow God. Now, some people might leave their business like that to follow him, but others, they keep the business, but their heart's right. And it's all, again, for the glory of God, for the increase and advancement of the kingdom of God. So much has to do with our hearts. We've got to make sure our hearts are right, especially if we're going to believe for miracle provision. Because it'll either sink us and cause wrong things to come out of us, or it will cause us to come up higher if our hearts are right. Can you say amen? Amen? Miracles should cause us to fall in love and follow harder the master of miracles, not the miracle or the money that he brings us. We're not going after the miracle, we're going after the master. And the miracles are helping us do that. Can you say amen? All right, you ready for one more miracle? All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 17. In verse 24. And when they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free." Now, this is a pretty cool thing right here. The tax that it's talking about is not talking about paying taxes to the government or taxes to Caesar. This is talking about the temple tax. So there was taxes that they paid basically to the house of God. And so just like children of a king wouldn't have to pay taxes to their father, the king, right? Jesus is saying those who are the children of God, and a part of his household should not have to pay taxes to God. Let's go on to the next verse, 27. Verse 27. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. So again, here we're seeing miracle tax money. How many people can use a little miracle tax money? I know there's some folks, they got some serious debt to the IRS. You're all so quiet looking with such straight faces. But some of you have some debt to the IRS. Thank God there's miracle money to get you out of debt to the government. He's got some tax money for you. Now notice here, Jesus, he said, let's do this. Let's pay this tax, even though the sons are free. He said, let's do it lest we offend. We don't want to offend anybody. And Jesus could have rose up and said, I don't have to pay taxes. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. I don't have to pay taxes to the temple. You know, that was his right. He didn't have to do it. He was letting Peter know that too. But yet, he cared about the IRS. He cared about those who collected the tax money. A lot of times we just think, you know, oh, this bill, these people want my money. Well, they're people. We don't want to just focus in on the money and lose sight that we are working with human beings. We are working with human beings. But a lot of times folks just look at the money and they look at people that want their money as just obstacles. But we got to watch. You go into a store. You got to watch. Somebody's charging more than maybe they should. And then you have a big fit over it. And here you are, a child of God, and you offend that person. You cause that person to stumble. But you know what? They honored you and gave you the better deal. You lost. You lost that day credit in the eyes of God. You lost credit because you valued the money, you valued the sale, you valued the price of that thing more than that human being. When we renovated the old sanctuary, we had one contractor that did some work, and he had said he was going to do it for a certain price. And then there were a couple little things, very little minor things, that I said, hey, you know, what about, you know, we need a hole for this vent to go through the roof and everything. Oh, I'll take care of it, no problem. Oh, great, thanks. Yeah, it's not a big deal. We do it all the time. He cut a little hole in the roof, stuck the thing in it. There was a couple other little things, not really major things at all. And then when I got the bill, it was a couple thousand dollars more. I can't remember exactly what it was. It was a lot of money in the thousands. And so I brought up, I said, hey, can we talk about this, you know? He was very, very determined that this is what we should pay. And I said, hey, listen, I'll pay it. I said, but this is all that was, you know, done here, and you know, da, 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 da. He said, fine, you don't have to pay anything. You don't have to pay any of it. You don't have to pay any of it. And he was acting like he was getting offended with me, and I was being very nice to him about it. And I said, no problem. If that's what you feel like I should pay, we're going to take care of you. It's not a problem. I just wanted to ask you about it. And we ended up writing him a check for the entire amount of money. I could have at that point said, yeah, no, I'm not going to pay that. That's ridiculous. And he would have let me because he knew it wasn't right. But I went ahead and paid it anyway, lest I offend him. I don't want him leaving here saying, that pastor, that church, I'm not going to give him an excuse to reject God. I'm going to make it really hard on him. He knew I was right. I had proved to him that I was right. And that's why he said, fine, you don't have to pay anything. But he was acting offended at me. And I said, no, I'll take care. If that's what you feel like I should pay, I'll pay the whole thing. And I just ended up giving him the whole thing. You got to care about the people more than the money. And I believe when we do that, we won't miss the money. God will take care of us. God will reward us for it. God will take care of us. So if you're willing to offend people in order to have money, then you don't qualify for miracle money. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. What's your name worth? What's your name worth? Let your name increase in value, not just your pocketbook. And if your name increases in value, then your pocketbook will change too. God will make sure of it. Luke 16:9, Jesus said, I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. So he said, use your money to make friends. Use your money to make friends for eternity, to help get people saved, so that when everything runs out down here, including your life, when you get to heaven, there'll be a lot of people there waiting to hug you. Because through the finances that you had in life, you are an influence to them and help them get there. And I find it interesting also that Jesus told him, he said that his provision, the tax money, would be in a fish's mouth. And remember, Jesus had just said earlier to Peter, he said, from now on, you're going to catch men. You're going to catch men. So the fish, we could say, is symbolic of souls getting caught and brought into the kingdom of God. Everything, again, is for the purpose of God. Even winning the tax collectors. Even winning them into the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Say, I'm going to put people first and not money. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.